Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Let's Talk for Tuesday, May 1st, 2012. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, coming to you live from Fort Hood, Texas, as I do every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you want to join in the conversation, you can dial it. Area code 347-838-8622, or shoot me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can hit me at Twitter at drivenforlife62. Now, yesterday, as we ended our show, we were talking about the draft. And as we most people know, only part of the draft that really gets the attention is day one. Now, if you're a diehard like I am, you follow day two, that's day three. No, but to me, the draft really doesn't get started until after the big drafts are over with, and you have your undrafted free agents get picked up by the team. And I do believe this is a part of the draft that, you know, is, I'm not going to say it goes unnoticed, but it's not as appreciated as it should be at times. Okay? So, because my favorite team is the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're going to briefly discuss their 17 undrafted free agents that they can sign after the draft on Monday. Okay? Now, as I said before, you know, the main excitement about the draft weekend is, you know, everybody wants you to pick that star player come out of college, you know, that number one guy, you know, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, even with the draft, the seven rounds of draft, each team cannot satisfy all they need. You know, satisfy the needs of the team that way only. You know, of course, we do have, you know, the supplemental draft, then you do have trades that go on as a free agent. But a lot of teams fill those needs after the draft by signing undrafted, the players that were not drafted during the seven rounds of the NFL draft, the formal draft. You know, and I believe Jacksonville is one of those teams that definitely can benefit from the undrafted free agents. Now, yesterday they signed 17 undrafted free agents. 17. Okay, and by position, this is how they broke down. Signed one center, one guard, one offensive tackle, three wide receivers, one running back, three quarterbacks, two linebackers, three defensive ends, one defensive tackle, and one tight end. Now, looking at that, if you paid attention to what I was saying, they signed three more wide receivers. Everybody agreed that was the glaring problem with the Jaguars last year. No receivers. So besides Justin Blackmon that we did take in the first round, we've got a chance to get at least three more or two more out of this group here. Once again, then you take that quarterback. Last year, because of injuries, you know, it showed our weakness that we did not have enough quarterbacks, you know, to go throughout the season. We were signing people off the street, you know, just to make it through the season. Well, during this signing period, we signed three undrafted free agent quarterbacks. As far as our pass rush, there are three defensive ends that were signed during this period. So out of the 17, those are nine people that can actually benefit the Jaguars immediately. Okay? Now, even though the positions are good, out of the 17 there was two notable names among the signees. One was Mike Webster. He's a center. Mike Brewster, I'm sorry. He's a center out of Ohio State. And many experts consider him to be one of the better offensive linemen in the draft. Now, why he wasn't taken, I don't know. But, you know, he has the ability to make the team and be the actual future draft, future center for the Jaguars. And the other notable name is someone I'm going to talk about a little extensively, okay? And that is Nelson Rosario out of UCLA. Okay? Now, Rosario is a kind of a mystery, you know, to scouts, to player personnel, general managers, even fans. Because he's 6'5", 219 pounds. He's a 10 seconds slower than Blackman, but has a higher vertical. And for those that doesn't know what the vertical is, he can jump higher than Blackman. Okay, he's 4 inches taller than Blackman. So this kid definitely has some ability. But the question marks about him is his motivation. You know, big games, he'll show up, but during games where there are times with games where he just take the game off. You know, at 6'5", you know, he has the strength to battle cornerbacks, you know, get that separation, which is in a lot of games he actually showed that. But then there were other games where the cornerback was draped all over him. Now, can we attribute that to the cornerback being that good? Maybe. But at 6'5", 219, I don't know too many people going to keep their hands on me. If I'm running a pass pattern, I want to get open. So that's why many scouts have described him as a frustrating type player. You know, the talent is there to become a productive receiver in the NFL. You know, but motivation seems to be an issue for him. Now, hopefully, when he gets to Jacksonville, you know, the receivers coach Jerry Sullivan, who's supposed to be one of the best at the business, can work on this motivation issue that he has and maybe get the kid to actually perform on a more constant basis. And if that can be done, I mean, I'm dreaming of a four-receiver set of Lee Evans, Laurent Robinson, Justin Blackman, and Nelson Rosario in the red zone. It gets even better. Got Mercedes Lewis, 6'6", Rosario, 6'5". Okay, those two huge targets. Defenses cannot just cross the line and look for MJD to run, because someone has to cover these receivers. Then you got Blackman, Robinson, and Evans also. So what was an actual glaring weakness last year for the Jaguars may actually become a strength this year. You know, and if that's the case, then Rosario may actually be one of the steals of this draft. You know, even though he wasn't drafted, he still may be a steal. You know, only time will tell. But overall, looking at all these undrafted signings by the Jaguars, I would say that the Jags have indeed addressed the needs of the team. You know, from offense to defense to special teams. Because maybe a couple of these players will make the team as a special teams player. And even by playing special teams, that still adds a little more depth to another position on the team. So it's a win-win situation either way. So, in my opinion, they have definitely addressed the needs, contrary to what many experts thought. Now, take that, Justin Cole and Eddie George. I think sometimes they speak too fast and forget about the undrafted signees that teams can sign after the major draft. You know, that's why I always say you can't put too much stock in what the so-called experts say. They know a little, but they don't know enough about it. They don't know what's going on in the inner workings of a team to really give a correct prognostication of what's happening. So once again, great job, Jags. And we'll see where it goes, how everything looks this weekend for the rookie minicamp. Once again, I want to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio's Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And to join in the conversation, you can dial 347-838-8622. Or you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or hit me on Twitter at DrivenForLife62. Now, we're going to change subjects a little bit here. We're going to remain on sports, but we're going to go to that other league called the National Basketball Association. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but, you know, the playoffs started this weekend. I must admit, being a football guy, you know, I pay a little attention to the NBA during the regular season. Hey, even during the first and second rounds of the playoffs, I pay little attention because it's really not, how can I say, they really aren't that, to me, they don't work that as hard. They don't work that hard. So I don't pay attention. But since this was a shorter season, you know, I watched a little bit more than usual. You know, and here's my opinion on some of that. I love that the Knicks are in the playoffs and the 76ers. You know, it's great to see new teams there sometimes. You know, we have the old staple, you know, old teams like the Lakers, the Celtics, the Heat, the Magic, the Spurs. I mean, you get them every year. The Nuggets now becoming a perennial team that stays in the playoffs, never gets past the first round, but they make the playoffs every year. You know, can we see some different teams every now and then? You know, the Miami Heat. So they make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs. Bosch, Wade. They got Bosch, Wade, and James. That's three superstars right there. If you don't make the playoffs, then there's something wrong there automatically. Automatically. You know, so even though they are making it, they are not. This season is not a success unless they break a championship. Because that's what it's all about, bringing a championship to Miami. Now, they got to the finals last year. No, but once again, when it came to the money, there was no one could produce. Dwayne Wade did his part. But where was Bosh and LeBron James? Where were they? They definitely didn't show up. So we'll see how that turns out this year. Now, you know, there's a team in the West that no one is really discussing. But I do feel, you know, you better look out for. You know, they quietly had the best record in the West this year. You know, and times without any of the top three players playing. And that's the San Antonio Spurs. You know, looking at their last few games, you know, I truly can say they look like the team to beat in the West. Maybe in the entire NBA. When they are actually clicking, on all cylinders. They are a very, very difficult team to defend and to beat. Now, you got Tony Parker, Ginobili. I mean, those two guys alone creates a headache. You know, then you got the man in the middle. You know, he's, you know, that's one of the players that have been playing for years. Years. But you don't hear anything about him. Tim Duncan. No, he goes about his daily job. You know, he's not flashy. But he gets the job done. Very well. And I can understand why the Spurs are actually the number one seed in the Western Conference. So that is definitely a team to look out for. Now, last night there were a couple of games that went on, you know, in the playoffs. The Oklahoma Thunder snuck by the Mavericks 102-99. And they now they have a 2-0 lead in the series. Of course, the series is now moving back to Dallas. You know, and OKC feels like they have something to prove right now. You know, they lost a tough series last year. And they seem to be more, a year older and a little bit more talented than they were last year compared to Dallas. You know, many people didn't think the loss of Thornton Chandler would affect them as much. But, yes, it has affected them a whole lot. You know, it has affected them a whole lot. They've lost that presence in the center, in the middle, you know, on both the scoring and defensive end. Yes, they have Dirk Nowitzki. But, I mean, who else is going to help him? Who else? Sean Marion, you know, once was at the height of his game, was one of the premier scorers in the league. You know, now that he's coming, you know, to the end of his career, he's more of a role player. You know, he may have a night where he, you know, shows some flashes of the old Sean matrix, but overall, you know, Terry, no, he's great when he's on. But when he's not, he can shoot you right out of the game. And so, you know, the question is, who's going to help Dirk score? You know, that is the question. I guess we'll find out. In the other game last night, the Indiana Pacers down the Orlando Magic, 93-78, to even the series at 1-1. Now, with this series, it's really hard to pick one team over the other. You know, the Magic has Dwight Howard, okay? But besides Dwight Howard, who else? You know, Jameer Nelson, maybe? I don't know. And I think I'm going to have to sit and look a little harder into that one. Then the Pacers, I can't tell you who's on the Pacers, you know, but they are in the playoffs. That's a good thing. You know, but the way the Magic played throughout the year, there's really no telling. There's really no telling who's going to win this series. I guess whoever decides to show up on any given night. So I'm calling this was even, and it's 1-1 as it should be right now. You know, I don't know. Maybe you can make that call for me. Once again, thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio's Let's Talk. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. To join in the conversation, dial area code 347-838-8622. Or you can email me at Eric. You can email me at Let's Talk at gmail.com. Or hit me on Twitter at DrivenForLight62. Now, continuing our conversation about the NBA playoffs, we're gonna take a look at the rest of the series that's going on right now. As I mentioned before, the Spurs were playing, and well, looking like the best team in the West. No, right now they have a 1-0 series lead against Utah Jazz. You know, like I said before, they're looking like the Spurs of old when they won their championships. No, everybody seems to be clicking. Everybody is making it happen. So they are up 1-0. I'm looking for them to take this series. Okay, then the next series you got going on is the Clippers against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Grizzlies the other night had a huge lead, on the Clippers, and some kind of way let the Clippers come back and win the game. Now, will there be a emotional, letdown for the next game because of that? Or, you know, will they come back and actually, you know, be determined to get that same lead and not let it slip out their hands this time? I'd be interested to see how they rebound from losing such a large lead. However, at the present time, the Clippers are up in the series 1-0. The Lakers lead their series against the Nuggets 1-0. And Andrew Bynum, you know, he came up big in number one in game one. You know, 10 block shots, an NBA record. 20 plus points. I mean, when they originally got him, that is the kind of production they were looking for. That's what they wanted him to do on a nightly basis. Well, maybe over time he has progressed until he's at that point now. You know, and that is sometimes what we as fans fail to realize. Just because a player comes in as the number one pick, everybody is not Kobe Bryant. Everybody is not Durant. You know, can't come in and set the league on fire. Sometimes it takes the progression and the growth and even the maturity to get to that point. So the question is, I mean, he has shown that he can have dominant-type games. But the question is, can he maintain that throughout the series, throughout multiple series, if the Lakers go ahead and win this series? You know, and if that's the case, remember now, the Spurs are the number one seed, so everything holds to the series eventually. The Lakers are going to have to play the Spurs. Now, then I believe that'll be a true test of how much Andrew Bynum has grown. You know, Tim Duncan, will he be playing Tim Duncan? Or will they put somebody else in? We'll wait and see on that one. Okay, that covers the Western Conference. Okay, now we're going to talk about the Eastern Conference. The Bulls lead the 76ers 1-0. Okay, but in that win, they lost Derrick Rose, the point guard. Now, I know during the regular season, when he was injured, you know, the Bulls had an 18-9 record when he was out. But then again, that was during the regular season. Now, we're talking about playoff time where all teams' intensity is turned up. You know, everybody looking for that knockout punch to knock the rival team out. For the Bulls, my question is, since your starting guard is out, who's going to step in? Who's going to step in and take, you know, and get that role, and take the role of leadership, and make the tough shots when needed? Now, that's a question that will determine how far the Bulls go in the playoffs. Once again, they're leading the 76ers 1-0. The Atlanta Hawks, they lead the Celtics 1-0. Now, you know, Boston has to play game two without Rondo Roger because he bumped the official and got suspended for a game. You know, sometimes you have to maintain your cool. Even when it's hard, you know, Rondo is not a rookie. It's not his first rodeo. Why is he getting that close to official anyway? I'll never know. But now the Celtics have to play game two without him. Well, I mean, game two without him is fine. But traditionally, Boston has always had trouble with young athletic teams. You know, so now you lose the engine. What is going to happen then? What is going to happen? You know, this may be the game that turns the whole series. Who knows? No, it's not like Boston is a young team. Yes, they're veterans. They've been there before. You know, but against a young, athletic team, who's going to control the pace of the game? Because they cannot let the Hawks get out and run. That is not a good idea. They would not win a game like that. So it'd be interesting to see how game two and three goes. Okay, now we're going to talk about the final game in the Eastern League, the final series, and that's the Miami Heat against the New York Knicks. Right now, the Heat are up 2-0. Now, the loss of Stoudemire is a big blow for the Knicks. You know, he's definitely, to me, he's the man that kept them together in the middle. Now, why he wants to go out and punch a fire extinguisher case and mess up his hand, I don't know. I understand frustration. I understand that part. But when your team are in the playoffs, especially against the Heat, they need you. You are a force. You are a force. So, I mean, if you're that upset, what do you think you're hitting it? Okay, if you got to hit something, knock over a Gatorade jug. You know, scream, yell. You know, knock all the juice, the towels off the table in the training room. But to go out there and hit a fire extinguisher case, put your hand through the glass, is not a good thought. Not at all. Now, for the rest of it, at least this series, your team is playing without you against a very formidable opponent. You know, I know Carmelo Anthony is there. Okay, so now since you're not there, they can focus all their attention on Anthony. I mean, Lynn, you know, okay, here's a flash in the pan. You know, he's come back to earth. But he's not on that level yet to play against those guys. You know, players today, they have to, you know, be more thoughtful, understand what's going on. You know, because, you know, you the star, I understand getting upset, but find another way to release it. Don't go punching glass fire extinguisher cases. That's nothing but trouble for you and your team eventually. I mean, come on, man. I'm just saying. Well, that's the show for today, and I do thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio's Let's Talk. Jackson. And once again, I say, you know, to join the conversation, call in at area code 347-838-8622, or you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or hit me at Twitter at DrivenForLife62. Thank you for listening in today to Let's Talk. You have a great day, and I see you here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on Let's Talk.